Dear Lord, we just come before you and we just thank you for your word. Thank you that it's so important. We ask that you just speak to our hearts. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit right now. That we may know you and draw close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret means harp or harp-shaped. Sea of Galilee. And it says, so it was. It came to pass in the reality of time and how it goes down. It says that the people pressed about Jesus. And what were they pressing around Jesus to do, to see? They wanted to hear the Bible. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Hearing the Word of God is so important. And notice, it's not a pastor talking. It's not a. It's the Word of God. And they came to Jesus, and they pressed. It was a smart crowd. That's a smart thing to do. They came to Jesus. They wanted to get close to Him. The word press is a literal, hardcore, coming close to touch. I mean, they were very tight with Jesus that day. And it was not to get anything material. It wasn't to get anything physical. They wanted one thing. They wanted not their hands to be filled, but they wanted their ears to be filled. They wanted to hear the Word. They wanted to hear the Word of God. I'll tell you, man, if Jesus was here right now in the flesh, would not we do the same thing? I would be sitting on the man's lap. I would be like a kid at a mall, Santa Claus, right there. Jesus, like, talk. Just talk. I want to hear everything. And you might say, oh, you know, I wish we had that, Pastor Andrew. We do. That's the Word. That's why it's called the Word of God. We got it. We could sit in His lap and say, Lord, speak to me. I love, there was a Babylon Bee article that came out a couple of years ago, and it said, man prayed for 5 days for God to speak to him and finally discovered his Bible. You know, and that's so true. You know, we always say, Lord, speak to my heart, speak to my heart, speak to my heart. And then we go, oh, what is this? Oh, Lord, speak to my heart, speak to my heart. This is it. This is how He talks. We talk to God through prayer, and then He talks to us through His Word. That's why it's called the Word of God. And so they went to hear the Word of God. They knew they needed something, and it was not going to be found in the multiplication of bread, even in the healing of eyes or the healing of lame legs. What they needed the most was to hear those words. And I'll tell you, what I need, what we all need, is to hear the Word of God more and more. And it's to hear it, and you're like going, well, you know, Pastor Andrew, I'm not much of a reader. I'm not much of a reader. Well, thank God for YouTube. Because people read it to you. And you hear it. You hear the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Scripture says. And you hear the Word. And if you're like, then follow along. Read it, hear it. And if you don't have YouTube, then get your Bible and read it out loud so you can hear it in your own ears. I mean, guys, we need to hear the Word of God. I remember hearing this and just letting it tickle our ears. It's hearing it and letting it sink into the brain. See, God put two ears on the side of our head, on the side of our brain, because it was for the brain, it was for the mind, the heart. And then it goes into the brain and sinks down to the heart, and we live it out. And that's the importance of hearing the Word. And they press close to Jesus. I love that, to hear the Word of God. There's power in the Word. And they press close. I love it. You know, that's kind of awkward now, right? With the whole quarantine thing. You know, they've kind of lost the art of pressing close. You know, I mean, it's weird when you look at your old histories on Facebook or social media and you're like, oh, what was I doing with all those people? You know? I still get a little awkward shaking hands. I'm all like, oh, is this okay now? And it's very nice. I'm like, how you doing, man? There's physical touch. You know, and there's some people that are wigged out by this nowadays, man, pressing close to each other. You know, I remember going to the Ralph's, when it was really bad in March, and we didn't know what was going on. Crazy, you know, everybody thought we were going to die. It was the bubonic plague. And I was in there getting food, and I got my you know, all they had left were like unsalted crackers and pea soup. You know, it was all that was left, you know. And so I was in there. I remember being too close to this woman, and she goes, "Sir, I need you to step back." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, you got it. And that pressing close is not happening right now. But and a lot of people have gotten out of the attitude of that. But this is the thing, guys. We need to press close to Jesus. Jesus isn't going to be there saying, "Oh, you know, I need you to step back." He's not an MVP. You know, I love that Jesus isn't like a very important person. You know those people that go, "You know, I'm so important, I can't be touched." You know, my wife was watching this show about the Queen, the Crown, or something like that. I forgot what it was. She's really into this, the royalty thing. I guess some guy back in 85 broke into the Buckingham Palace, snuck in one night, opened the windows, came into the Queen's bedroom and got too close. And she had a full conversation for around 10 minutes with the guy before he was discovered. And some things we can't get too close. You try to climb over the wall of the White House, see what happens when you try to get too close to something. Oh, that's just normal. But here Jesus, you know what Jesus does? Jesus is like, "Come here, let's get close. Press a little closer. Come on, come a little closer to me. Let's talk." He's the type of guy, he's the type of God, he's the type of Savior that puts his arm around you and says, "Let's talk. Let's have a conversation." You're like, "Well, Pastor Andrew, he ain't here in the flesh. How is that possible?" That's the cool thing. It's by the Spirit we can have that. Remember, Jesus went away and he sent his Spirit so that we can have that closeness with him and with the Father. We can abide in Christ and the power of the Spirit. And so, guys, we need to draw close, be filled with the Spirit. It also comes through the Word. Guys, he speaks to his Word, and in prayer, we get close to him. You know, I'll tell you, if you guys aren't praying, pray. Praying is a mental, spiritual, and emotional vomiting onto the Lord's lap. Just, you know, he's just like this is everything. I got so much. But if you read the Psalms, it's like David's like going, "God," you know, and he's just letting it go, man. He's just letting it go. And he's just getting it off his chest. I mean, what are we talking? Who are you going to talk to? Your counselors, your sponsors. You can talk to them. That's great. But when it comes to Jesus, you say, "Jesus, I'm just going to just pour it out to you." And then he ain't silent. Then you read the Word. And then it comes back. And he answers you in the Word. It's this conversation that we have, and we press close. We press close in holiness. You know, remember, it was the holy priest that got to go into the Holy of Holies. And so we have holiness through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have access. The veil has been ripped from top to bottom. So be holy by the blood of Jesus. Obedience. Being obedient to the Lord. God loves obedience and humility, and he loves when we serve. When we serve the Lord, and we work for him, guess what? There's a closeness. The master is always close with the servants, the slaves. And I just want to be a slave, bro. I just want to serve the Lord. That's how we press close. And I love how it says in verse 1, it says, "And he stood by the lake." He pressed close and he stood by. And now he does withdraw. Look at verse 2. He withdraws a little bit for the sake that people could hear the word more. Okay, he verse 2, it says, "And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats," verse 3, "which was Simon's, and asked to be put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat." Now remember, this is a natural amplification. We have this microphone right here. We have booming voices. We have amplification that we use nowadays. Back in the day, they didn't have that. The natural amplification that he knew about was to get onto water, which was a boom mic. And he would, and you could do that at any lake. You get in the water, your voice will project more because of the water. And so he moves back, makes some distance. Why? Not because he was like, "I want to be an MVP." No, he wanted to get back so they could hear the word more. More word. Louder word. More Bible. More Jesus. And so he did that. But I love it. It says there were these fishermen. Two boats. Fishermen drying, it says cleaning their nets. It was a preparation for the next day because they got skunked. They had nothing. Peter is going to be Simon Peter is going to be very blunt and say, we didn't catch nothing that night. I'll tell you, I love fishing, but I'll tell you, Jesus in the Bible is very clear here. And Peter was honest. A little minor miracle. He's going to tell them that he's caught nothing. We'll get to that in a second. But it was a long day, no fish. And remember, they started fishing around 4 in the morning. And so right now they're cleaning their nets. It was around noonish. It was the heat of the day. They're done. It was around noonish. They're cleaning up, getting ready for the next day. And Jesus, with no permission, just steps into the boat. He didn't say, oh, may I use one of your boats? He just gets in the boat and says, hey, man, push off a little bit. He just does it. It would be like someone got in your work truck and just went, hey, can I borrow this for a second? I need to borrow your drill. I need to give me your hammer. And he just got into the work truck or the work boat of these guys and just says, and it disrupted their schedule. Remember, they were cleaning nets. And he just jumps in the boat and says, hey, push back a little bit. And then he begins to teach a Bible study. He sits down, takes the position of a teacher. Somehow that got confused over time. You guys sit, I stand. Back in the day, the teacher sat, then the students, they stood. And so they're standing, he's sitting, teaching the people in the position of a teacher. And it was Simon's boat. Simon must have had to push it back and hold on to the boat. He's in the water, waist deep, holding the boat. Captive audience. Peter's just listening to everything. Now remember, Peter knew Jesus already. We know that from Scripture that he's already had contact with him. He knew of him. His brother Andrew was a disciple of his, and they weren't there all the time. They knew Jesus for around 3 years. 1.5 of those years they were with him. For the first year, we believe it was off and on in his public ministry. But he just sits down and he says, put out a little bit. Now remember that phrase. And then he says to them in verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, Jesus said to Simon, hey, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. I love fishing. And there's one thing that's really hard is when you take non-fishermen up and they give you advice on what to do. Jesus was a carpenter by trade. He was not a fisherman. He was not a Galilean. He was a Galilean, but he was not a lake guy. Okay? He was a Nazareth guy. Nazareth people are kind of sketchy, you know? Small town, you know? Bandidos would run up in that area. They would have the small town on the roads. It was known, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, it was like Vernon. You know, it's like it was rough. It was rough. And so here, guys, you know, Cudahy. Really, it's a Cudahy thing. You know, just like, you know, I don't know if you know. That's my idea. I'm a LA guy, so it's like Cudahy. You know, just like, you know, can anything good come out of Cudahy? And so here, which there is, but praise the Lord. And so here's Jesus. Anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a rough town, rough place, small families. Everybody knew each other. Some good stuff came out of it. We had one faithful family. It was Joseph and Mary. But man, here he is, and he wasn't a great guy. And he says, and he's getting technical. He's like a YouTube expert, you know, maybe. It was just like, Jesus comes up and says, hey, what does he say? Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Well, first of all, it was the wrong place. You'd never fish in the deep, ever in Galilee. You always hug the coastline. In all forms of fishing, it's always maximum 75 yards out from the coast. Max 75. It's a deep lake. It's very deep. One of the deepest lakes in the area. The Syro-African Rift goes from there. It's a fault-lying lake. It means it's deep. He says, go into the deep. That's the wrong place. So, oh, okay, the deep, okay. And then he said it was the wrong time. It was noontime. You never fish in the heat of the day. The fish go deep. You can't catch them. They go deep. So it was the wrong time. He was the wrong man. Wrong person. He was a carpenter. And for a catch, how do you know we're going to catch anything? Jesus was speaking in faith. Let's go over a catch. Like, oh, you know something we don't? Mr. Fisherman? You know? Bob Vila's here telling us about fishing rules, man. It's like, who is this guy? That was the wrong attitude. So the wrong time, wrong place, wrong person, wrong attitude. And go out a little. Now, he says, push out a little. And now he's saying, go out into the deep. I love this little thing. Guys, catch it. The Lord will always want it little to deep. God wants to take you. He'll say, come out a little bit. Come away with me. Come away a little bit. And then he wants to take you deeper, though. He wants to take you a little farther. And this is how it is. Remember the story of Stephen. Not Stephen. Oh my gosh, my brain just passed out. The guy who went to Gaza, help me out, pastors. My brain, in Acts. He went down there with the Ethiopian guy. My brain. Oh my gosh. Philip. Thank God. Yeah, with Phil? Am I right? Okay, Philip. I was like, what was it, Phil? Yeah, Philip. He goes down and he goes, and God says, hey, leave this wonderful work that's happening in Samaria and head to Gaza. Doesn't tell him why. Just go one step. He goes to Gaza. He says, well, I'm here in the desert. And he says, look, there was an Ethiopian. Overtake the chariot. Next step. He goes. And then all of a sudden, then they start rolling. But God wants you to go this step, and then when you get there, it went out a little bit, he wants you to go deeper. See, that's the heart and nature of Jesus. In the scriptures, it talks about the man who goes in at leg deep, waist deep, then over his head, going into the depths of the river. And that's what Jesus wants for us. The question I have for you guys is, the Lord wants you guys to go farther and deeper with him, but the thing is, it's up to us. How far are you willing to go with Jesus Christ? How far? How deep do you want to go? We all say with you know, oh yes, Lord, I want to go deep with you. I want to go far with you. We can say that, but how far are we really wanting to go with him? Because you know what? If you're willing to go, he's calling deep unto deep. Let's go. And then get this. If you're willing, if you want to, you'll go. He'll go as far as you want to go. You're like, well, God hasn't taken me that far. No, he will, but do you want to? Do I want to? How far are we willing to go with Jesus Christ? And so they went into the deep. But of course, Simon has a problem. Simon Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master. That word master there is boss. It's an overseer. Epistos, which is a commander. One who stands up, a boss. He says, boss man, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. He just kind of like, I guess so. He toiled, he made an excuse. I worked all night long. I've done it all, man. We toiled all night. Notice the self in that. I have toiled. I worked my tail off. And I got nothing. I got nothing. I have worked long. I have no rest. But then he said a good word. And I like this word. Nevertheless. It's just but. But. Nevertheless. Forget about it. It was a pivot point, that nevertheless. It was a pivot point. He goes, nevertheless, at your word. Ho-ho! There we go again. They press close to the word. Now Peter changes. At your word, I'm going to change. At the obedience of God's word, the situation will change. Empty nets will become full nets. A long night of empty work will become a short moment of wonderfulness in Christ, in His Spirit. And I'll tell you, our life changes at that pivot point of God's Word. When we start obeying it. He says, hey, we've done all this. I have done me. I've done it all. But nevertheless, at your word, and it was just that little small thing, at your word, I will let down the net. He goes back to the flesh. I'll do it. I'll do it all. And he did that. And so he says, nevertheless, I'll go out. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. When did this happen? When did the blessing start? When did the abundance now happen? At the obedience of Christ's word. You're like, but Pastor, I've been obedient to God's word, and I got empty net still. Then wait. You're not deep enough. Be patient. Watch what happens. But I'll tell you one thing. I never met one person who's been faithfully obedient to the Lord who hasn't been blessed, hasn't had their socks blessed off. And abundance. I've never met anybody who God hasn't in time just done a work. God's not slack concerning His promises, and He loves us. He's a good God. And in verse 7 it says, so they signaled to their partners in other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. It was an overflow. It was hardcore. It was a blessing. And notice, it was contagious. The blessing was contagious at the obedience. Now it wasn't just Simon Peter's boat. It was another guy's boat. And they brought in the other boats. And now everybody's filled. See, guys, that's the blessing of obedience. Is when we are obedient to God's Word, when we go deeper with Him at His Word, and we go farther with Him and His Word, guess what happens? Other people will then get blessed. Because of your obedience, because of our obedience, Jesus, in His blessing, will also bless others because He's a good God like that. And I love verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. There's a lot there in that verse. I love how, where does Peter fall? At his knees. Interesting. The only time in the Bible that you see where it says that he falls at his knees. You see Jesus' feet a lot. People are falling at Jesus' feet all the time. But this is his knees. Crazy. The only person that came close to the knees of Jesus also was the woman who had the issue of blood. The tassels would be around the knee area, according to tradition in Jewish culture. But here's the knees. Why the knees in the boat? Two explanations. It could be that he's sitting still. It could be there is a little ledge in all Galilean boats. Underneath that would be the pillow or the ballast of the boat. That's why when they were in the storm, it says that Jesus was underneath asleep on a pillow with a bag of sand that they kept to keep the balance of the boat. And therefore, Jesus in the storm actually became the balancer in the storm, the actual ballast to the boat, which is I think is amazingly awesome. So he could be sitting on that upper section where people would throw off their nets, and he's sitting there. And then he falls at the knees of Jesus because Jesus is in a sitting position. That's one thing. But I don't believe that to be the case. I am not one to think of Jesus to be sitting when there's fun things going on. Here they are pulling up those nets. I know Jesus was there pulling up the nets with them. Pulling up those nets. It's like, oh, that one's snapping. Grab behind it. Grab it. Pull it up. Dumping the fish in the boat. The boat's being weighted down. And his knees, if you know anything about the Jewish boats back in the day that were in the Galilee, the boat was filled with fish. The fish are up to the knees, and Peter's up there on the top of the fish. He couldn't get to the feet. So he went for the knees. And Peter says, bow down at the knees of Jesus and his face. Peter's face would have just been in the fish. That stinky, they probably weren't stinky at the time, but the slimy carp, the whatever that's there, it was probably carp, there's a lot of carp in that lake, and he just puts his face down right in front of those fish, and there's the knees of Jesus, and he's all like, and he didn't care about the smell, the goo, the wetness. And he saw that, and he had a realization. What was his realization? Jesus, I need you to get away from me. depart from me, leave me. I'm too sinful. You need to go away from me. Notice the wordplay in this whole story. The people were pressing close to Jesus to hear the word. And he says, let's go out a little farther together. Let's get deeper together. And then he says, I need you to get away from me. I am a sinful man. Oh Lord. And that's not master. That is a different kind of master. The word master at verse 5 where he says, master, we toil all night. That's boss man. This is something. This is Adonai. This is slave owner. You are a slave owner, and I'm your servant. I'm your slave, and I'm just going. You're my master, and he just bows down in the fish at the knees of Jesus, and he just says, "Get away from me. I'm a sinful man." In the light of Jesus Christ, when we're in the Word. When we're in the light of God's Word, we will realize one thing very clearly. I'm a sinful man. I remember one time I went to Nordstrom's, not on my own accord. I went there to get my wife a present. She wanted perfume for her birthday. And her birthday is tricky because it's Valentine's Day. So I tried to get married on Valentine's Day and get it all done in one day. It was not going to happen. I was like, crud, baby. I was like, let's do this. How romantic and how special. It's your birthday. Total ulterior motives. I just wanted one day. So that's all I would have to remember. And it's done. I save up. Throw a couple of hundred down. I'm good. You know, I'll save up all year. And she wouldn't have it. So anyway, doggone it. She wouldn't have it. It's April 22nd is our anniversary. So I got 2 days now, I got to remember. But anyways, so I'm at Nordstrom's. And, you know, it's not, I don't go there. Like, look at me. You know, it's like, I'm frumpy. I'm a big and tall guy, you know. And just like, so I'm there at Nordstrom's, and you know, and I don't like to go there. They got these beautiful women behind makeup counters. I want to talk to you. You know, I want to get in and out, real fast. And then I'm like going, okay, we got to get in and out of the store. And then I'm like going, then I'm going to go to In-N-Out, and that will be my reward. And then, and so I'm headed down there, and I'm like, do you have this type of perfume? And she's like, yes. And she said, let me ring it up. So I'm waiting for her to get it. I'm like going, this is going to be a 5-minute job, dude. I'm going to be in and out. I'm so stoked. And I'm sitting there, and they have this mirror. I don't know anything about mirrors. I try to look at them as least as possible. And there's a mirror that they have that's a magnifying mirror. It blows your face up, so my head looked really fat. And then around it was a light. A big LED light. And it just lit everything up. So not just that I had a fat head, I had a bright head, and with my whiteness, I looked like I was an albino. And I was just like, gosh, I look freaky. And then all of a sudden, I look at it, and I'm like, and I looked at myself. And I'm like, and that light, and that mirror, I'm like, what is wrong with my face? I said, look at my pores. I mean, my pores look like the Grand Canyon. I'm like, and I got all self, I was like, look at this. I'm like, I look like I have an Irishman nose and I'm an alcoholic or something like that. I got my veins on my nose. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, geez Louise. I'm like, I saw myself. And man, I realized I am an ugly man. And I realized how much my wife needs glasses. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, geez, she must really love me. Or desperate. One of the two. Anyway, she's, I don't know, but we're still praying about that. But, it was just there. And that's what life is like when you're in front of the Word of God. The Bible says, is not the Word of God a light and a mirror? It's a mirror. Peter says that the Word of God is like a man who sees himself in a reflection, and if he forgets about it, he walks away and says, what did I look like, you know? Peter talks about that. The Word of God is a light, and it lights you up. And when you read the Bible, guess what happens? You realize who you are, and you see yourself. And what do we know about Jesus? Jesus is the personification of the Word. The Word is Jesus, and He comes on every page of the book. And then when you're standing before Jesus and you're hearing His Word, you realize something. I'm a sinful man. And you realize that. I don't know if you have, But when I get in the Word, I realize, man, why are you with me? Why are you with me, Lord? You know, I have a great wife, praise the Lord. And sometimes she is so great. I just like, why are you here? I don't deserve this. You know? I just, good grief, man, you're a blessing. And then, man, I'll tell you, I feel the same way, and more so with God's Word. I'm a sinful man. Why are you even bothering? I should be judged. I should go to hell. I need to be burning in fire and brimstone because I'm a sinful man. But yet you have grace upon me. And that's what the thing that was so amazing here. He says, depart from me. Even though God desires for us to be close, he said, I don't, get away from me. But Jesus would have none of that. Remember, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And in verse 9, he says, For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, and his partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, now notice this, guys. I don't think it was just the fish. They were blown away by the fish, the blessing. It was the Word. Remember, he was a captive audience sitting there holding that boat out in that water. And with that mixed with the fish and it just like, good grief, the enormity of God's grace. That boat of fish, those boats of fish were a testimony of God's grace. You, brother, were talking about God's grace upon your life. We were talking about God's grace. You were talking about it, Dan. And we have these testimonies of grace. God's grace is so there that when we're experiencing God's grace, you know, Jesus didn't have to fill up the boat with fish. He could have left off and says, go out a little way. Taught the Word and says, bring me back in, Peter. Adios. He could have done that. But no, he says, let's fill the boat with fish. And I'll tell you, that's a beautiful thing of God's grace. And so they're blown away by the fish. And Peter's like going, you need to get away from me. I'm not the kind of guy you need to be mixing with, Jesus. And Jesus says this, do not be afraid. Because Peter was terrified. He was like, you need to get away. He was terrified. What was Peter afraid of? Was he afraid of the fish? No, he's seen fish all of his life. Was he afraid of the miraculousness of a boatload of fish? He's probably seen that before too. What was Peter afraid of? Peter was afraid, I believe, that he was going to tarnish Jesus. He was afraid that he was going to mess things up for him. He was afraid of being, maybe he was a selfish thing. I'm in the presence of God. And I don't want to blow it. I don't want to mess up. I feel like I'm a sinful priest in the Holy of Holies. And so he says, but Jesus says, don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, you will catch men. Wow. He says, I'm going to change your profession. You're going to serve me and you're going to catch men. You're not going to catch fish. You're going to be an evangelist. You're going to go out and you're going to catch and clean them. Well, Jesus does the cleaning, really. But you're going to catch them and teach them. You know? And that's the neat thing. And when they had brought their boats to land, what did they do? Did they count the fish? Did they call up the fish market guy and say, hey, bro, count it up. Payoff day. You know, how much is this? Got 50 cents in the dollar, 50 shekels to the fish. You know, what's my cut? What's my cut? What's my cup? So we'll give some to Zebedee. We'll give some to myself. It says that they forsook all. They said, I'm out of here. They ditched the fish. And they followed Jesus. Hey, I just want to do that. I just want to forsake all and follow Jesus. I'm going to catch men. I want to go out and serve Him. That's what He did. From now on, you will catch men. I'll tell you one thing. I'm so glad Jesus caught me. I was a bottom feeder, man. I was like, just a bottom feeder. Maybe you feel that way. You know, but I'll tell you guys, Jesus, He cleans you up. You know, and then we're called down to go out and catch men. To tell people about Jesus. You know, there are three types of fishing in the Sea of Galilee. There is hook and line. There is net, You throw the nets out. And the third kind is something called a drag net, where you get a team together, and you get two boats, and you drag a net, and you scoop it up. So, too, there's three forms of evangelism. There's one-on-one, hook and line. I'm targeting. Have you ever targeted somebody, and you said, this guy needs to get saved? You're like, you're just working the bait. One-on-one. And then you got your nets. That's when you go out and street witness. Tell people about Jesus. You're out there throwing social media, whatever. You're just getting the net out. You're just like, whoever. And then the third kind is when you get the whole team together. You got a plan. You got, like, okay, you go on here. We have to sail together. We all have to be in unity. We're going to just go out, like, harvest crusades, outreaches. And there's a big net. You scoop them all up. Guys, let's just be that way. I'll tell you, man, God's called us to fish for men. And it's way better. You know, He catches us, and then He cleans us, and then He tells us to go out and get some. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want. And you know, we're in it right now. We're going to go into a time of communion. If you want to come up and lead us in a song, and we'll worship the Lord real quick. When you take the emblems, you know, it all comes down. You know, He caught us at the cross. That was the hook. And I'll tell you, we're going to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, and the body and the blood. And then we'll get into remembering what the Lord did for us. Let's pray, guys. Dear Lord, we just come before You, and we just thank You so much for us having this time of remembering Your body and remembering Your blood. We ask, Lord, that You would just speak to our hearts right now, Lord. We thank You and praise You. On the night that Jesus was betrayed into the hands of sinners, it says that He took bread and He broke it. If you want to peel back the label and take the bread. It says that He took bread and He broke it. And He gave thanks. And He says, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. We thank You for the body, Lord. Let's partake together as a family and remember the body of Jesus Christ right now. Thank You, Lord. Also, the night that He was taken, it says that He took the cup and He drank it. He says, take, drink, this is My blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And we want to remind that this is the new covenant. And Lord, we thank You for the blood that was shed for us. A body that was broken, Lord, so that ours wouldn't be broken. That by Your stripes we were healed. That by that tearing of Your body, we have access into the... That You tore that curtain that divided us from Your presence. And Lord, it's through the blood that we can enter in forgiven and holy. And we just right now, as we take the cup, we remember that Your blood shed for us is the remission of all sins. And we thank You, Lord, for that. We remember You right now. Let's take of the cup right now, too. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We remember You. We praise You and thank You for the work and this picture of the body and the blood for us. It was the hook that caught us, forgave us, cleansed us, gave us access to the Father, and brought us into a new life, and we could be born again. Thank You, Jesus. We remember You, and we love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together. We just come before You, and we just thank You. Dear Lord, we just come before You, and we just thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it's so important. We ask that You just speak to our hearts. Fill us to overflowing with Your Holy Spirit right now. That we may know You and draw close to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the Word of God, that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret means harp or harp-shaped. Sea of Galilee. And it says, so it was. It came to pass in the reality of time and how it goes down. It says that the people pressed about Jesus. And what were they pressing around Jesus to do, to see? They wanted to hear the Bible. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Hearing the Word of God is so important. And notice, it's not a pastor talking. It's not a. It's the Word of God. And it came to Jesus, and they pressed. It was a smart crowd. That's a smart thing to do. They came to Jesus. They wanted to get close to Him. The word press is a literal, hardcore, coming close to touch. I mean, they were very tight with Jesus that day. And it was not to get anything material. It wasn't to get anything physical. They wanted one thing. They wanted not their hands to be filled, but they wanted their ears to be filled. They wanted to hear the Word. They wanted to hear the Word of God. I'll tell you, man, if Jesus was here right now in the flesh, would not we do the same thing? I would be sitting on the man's lap. I would be like a kid at a mall, Santa Claus, right there. Jesus, like, talk. Just talk. I want to hear everything. And you might say, oh, you know, I wish we had that, Pastor Andrew. We do. That's the Word. That's why it's called the Word of God. We got it. We could sit in His lap and say, Lord, speak to me. I love, there was a Babylon Bee article that came out a couple of years ago, and it said, man prayed for 5 days for God to speak to him, and finally discovered his Bible. You know, that's so true. You know, we always say, Lord, speak to my heart, speak to my heart, speak to my heart. And then we go, oh, what is this? Oh, Lord, speak to my heart, speak to my heart. This is it. This is how He talks. We talk to God through prayer, and then He talks to us through His Word. That's why it's called the Word of God. And so they went to hear the Word of God. They knew they needed something, and it was not going to be found in the multiplication of bread, even in the healing of eyes or the healing of lame legs. What they needed the most was to hear those words. And I'll tell you, what I need, what we all need, is to hear the Word of God more and more. And it's to hear it, and you're like going, well, you know, Pastor Andrew, I'm not much of a reader. Well, thank God for YouTube. Because people read it to you, and you hear it. You hear the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Scripture says. And you hear the Word. And if you're like, then follow along. Read it, hear it. And if you don't have YouTube, then get your Bible and read it out loud so you can hear it in your own ears. I mean, guys, we need to hear the Word of God. I remember hearing isn't just letting it tickle our ears. It's hearing it and letting it sink into the brain. See, God put two ears on the side of our head, on the side of our brain, because it was for the brain. It was for the mind, the heart. And then it goes into the brain and sinks down to the heart, and we live it out. And that's the importance of hearing the Word. And they press close to Jesus. I love that. To hear the Word of God. There's power in the Word. And they press close. I love it. You know, that's kind of awkward now, right? With the whole quarantine thing. You know, they've kind of lost the art of pressing close. You know, I mean, it's weird when you look at your old histories on Facebook or social media and you're like, oh, what was I doing with all those people? You know, I still get a little awkward shaking hands. I'm all like, oh, is this okay now? And it's very nice. I'm like, how you doing, man? There's physical touch. You know, and there's some people that are wigged out by this nowadays, man, pressing close to each other. You know, I remember going to the Ralph's, when it was really bad in March, and we didn't know what was going on. You know, everybody thought we were going to die. It was the bubonic plague. And I was in there getting food, and I got my, you know, all they had left were like unsalted crackers and like and pea soup. You know, it was all that was left, you know. And so I was in there. I remember being too close to this woman, and she goes, sir, I need you to step back. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you got it. And that pressing close is not happening right now. But and a lot of people have gotten out of the attitude of that. But this is the thing, guys. We need to press close to Jesus. Jesus isn't going to be there saying, oh, you know, I need you to step back. He's not an MVP. You know, I love that Jesus isn't like a very important person. You know those people that go, you know, I'm so important, I can't be touched. You know, my wife was watching this show, about the queen, the crown or something like that. I forgot what it was. She's really into this, the royalty thing. I guess some guy back in 85 broke into the Buckingham Palace, snuck in one night, opened the windows, came into the queen's bedroom and got too close. And she had a full conversation for around 10 minutes with the guy before he was discovered. And some things we can't get too close. You try to climb over the wall of the White House, see what happens when you try to get too close to something. Oh, that's just normal. But here Jesus, you know what Jesus does? Jesus is like, come here, let's get close. Press a little closer. Come on, come a little closer to me. Let's talk. He's the type of guy, he's the type of God, he's the type of Savior that puts his arm around you and says, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. You're like, well, Pastor Andrew, he ain't here in the flesh. How is that possible? That's the cool thing. It's by the Spirit we can have that. Remember, Jesus went away and he sent his Spirit so that we can have that closeness with him and with the Father. We can abide in Christ and the power of the Spirit. And so, guys, we need to draw close, be filled with the Spirit. It also comes through the Word. Guys, he speaks to his Word, and in prayer, we get close to him. You know, I'll tell you, if you guys aren't praying, pray. Praying is a mental, spiritual, and emotional vomiting onto the Lord's lap. Just, you know, you're just like this is everything. I got so much. But if you read the Psalms, it's like David's like going, God, you know, and he's just letting it go, man. He's just letting it go. And he's just getting it off his chest. I mean, what are we talking? Who are you going to talk to? Your counselors, your sponsors. You can talk to them. That's great. But when it comes to Jesus, you say, Jesus, I'm just going to just pour it out to you. And then he ain't silent. Then you read the Word. And then it comes back. And he answers you in the Word. It's this conversation that we have, and we press close in holiness. You know, remember, it was the holy priest that got to go into the Holy of Holies. And so we have holiness through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have access. The veil has been ripped from top to bottom. So be holy by the blood of Jesus. Obedience. Being obedient to the Lord. God loves obedience and humility, and he loves when we serve. When we serve the Lord, and we work for him, guess what? There's a closeness. The master is always close with the servants, the slaves. And I just want to be a slave, bro. I just want to serve the Lord. That's how we press close. And I love how it says in verse 1, it says, and he stood by the lake. He pressed close, and he stood by. And now, he does withdraw. Look at verse 2. He withdraws a little bit for the sake that people could hear the word more. Okay? He verse 2, it says, and he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, verse 3, which was Simon's, and asked to be put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now remember, this is a natural amplification. We have this microphone right here. We have booming voices. We have amplification that we use nowadays. Back in the day, they didn't have that. The natural amplification that he knew about was to get onto water, which was a boom mic. And he would, yeah, and you could do that at any lake. You get in the water, your voice will project more because of the water. And so he moves back, makes some distance. Why? Not because he was like, I want to be an MVP. No, he wanted to get back so they could hear the word more. More word. Louder word. More Bible. More Jesus. And so he did that. But I love it. It says there were these fishermen. Two boats. Fishermen drying, it says cleaning their nets. It was a preparation for the next day because they got skunked. They had nothing. Simon Peter is going to be very blunt and say, we didn't catch nothing that night. I'll tell you, I love fishing, but I'll tell you, Jesus in the Bible is very clear here. And Peter was honest, a little minor miracle. He's going to tell him that he's caught nothing. We'll get to that in a second. But it was a long day, no fish. And remember, they started fishing around 4 in the morning. And so right now they're cleaning their nets. It was around noonish. It was the heat of the day. They're done. It was around noonish. They're cleaning up, getting ready for the next day. And Jesus, with no permission, just steps into the boat. He didn't say, may I use one of your boats? He just gets in the boat and says, hey, man, push off a little bit. He just does it. It would be like someone got in your work truck and just went, hey, can I borrow this for a second? I need to borrow your drill. I need to give me your hammer. And he just got into the work truck or the work boat of these guys and just says, and it disrupted their schedule. Remember, they were cleaning nets. And he just jumps in the boat and says, hey, push back a little bit. And then he begins to teach a Bible study. He sits down, takes the position of a teacher. Somehow that got confused over time. You guys sit, I stand. Back in the day, the teacher sat, then the students, they stood. And so they're standing, he's sitting, teaching the people in the position of a teacher. And it was Simon's boat. Simon must have had to push it back and hold on to the boat. He's in the water, waist deep, holding the boat. Captive audience. Peter's just listening to everything. Now remember, Peter knew Jesus already. We know that from Scripture, that he's already had contact with him. He knew of him. His brother Andrew was a disciple of his. But they weren't there all the time. They knew Jesus for around 3 years. 1.5 of those years, they were with him. For the first year, we believe, it was off and on in his public ministry. But he just sits down. And he says, put out a little bit. Now remember that phrase. And then he says to them in verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, Jesus said to Simon, hey, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. I love fishing. And there's one thing that's really hard, is when you take non-fishermen up and they give you advice on what to do. Jesus was a carpenter by trade. He was not a fisherman. He was not a Galilean. He was a Galilean, but he was not a lake guy. Okay? He was a Nazareth guy. Nazareth people are kind of sketchy, you know? Small town, you know? Banditos would run up in that area. They would have the small town on the roads. It was known, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, it was like Vernon. You know, it was just like, it was rough. It was rough. And so here, guys, you know, cut of hay. Really, it's a cut of hay thing. You know, just like, you know, I don't know if you know, that's my idea. I'm a L.A. guy, so it's like, it's like cut of hay. You know, just like, you know, can anything good come out of cut of hay? And so here, which there is, but praise the Lord. And so here's Jesus. Anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a rough town, rough place, small families. Everybody knew each other. Some good stuff came out of it. Well, they had one faithful family. It was Joseph and Mary. But man, here he is, and he wasn't a late guy. And he says, and he's getting technical. It's like a YouTube expert, you know, maybe. It was just like, Jesus comes up and says, hey, what does he say? Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Well, first of all, it was the wrong place. You'd never fish in the deep, ever in Galilee. You always hug the coastline. In all forms of fishing, it's always maximum 75 yards out from the coast. Max 75. It's a deep lake. It's very deep, one of the deepest lakes in the area. The Syro-African Rift goes from there. It's a fault line lake. It means it's deep. He says, go into the deep. That's the wrong place. It's like, oh, okay, the deep, okay. And then he said, it was the wrong time. It was noontime. You never fish in the heat of the day. The fish go deep. You can't catch them. They go deep. So it was the wrong time. He was the wrong man, wrong person. He was a carpenter. And for a catch, how do you know we're going to catch anything? Jesus was speaking in faith. Let's go over a catch. Like, oh, you know something we don't, Mr. Fisherman? You know, Bob Vila's here telling us about fishing rules, man. He's like, who is this guy? There was the wrong attitude. So the wrong time, wrong place, wrong person, wrong attitude, and go out a little. Now, he says, push out a little, and now he's saying, go out into the deep. I love this little thing. Guys, catch it. The Lord will always want it little to deep. God wants to take you. He'll say, come out a little bit. Come away with me. Come away a little bit. And then He wants to take you deeper, though. He wants to take you a little farther. And that's just how it is. Remember the story of Stephen. Not Stephen. Oh my gosh, my brain just passed out. The guy who went to Gaza. Help me out, pastors. My brain in Acts. He went down there with the Ethiopian guy. My brain. Oh my gosh. Philip. Thank God. Yeah, with Phil? Am I right? Okay, Phil. I was like, oh, Phil? Yeah, Philip. He goes down and he goes... And God says, hey, leave this wonderful work that's happening in Samaria and head to Gaza. Doesn't tell him why. Just go one step. He goes to Gaza. He says, well, I'm here in the desert. And he says, look, there was an Ethiopian. Overtake the chariot. Next step. He goes. And then all of a sudden, and then it starts rolling. But God wants you to go this step. And then when you get there, they went out a little bit. He wants you to go deeper. See, that's the heart and nature of Jesus. In the Scriptures, it talks about the man who goes in at leg deep, waist deep, then over his head, going into the depths of the river. And that's what Jesus wants for us. The question I have for you guys is, the Lord wants you guys to go farther and deeper with Him, but the thing is, it's up to us. How far are you willing to go with Jesus Christ? How far? How deep do you want to go? We all say with you know, oh yes, Lord, I want to go deep with you. I want to go far with you. We can say that, but how far are we really wanting to go with Him? Because you know what? If you're willing to go, He's calling deep unto deep. Let's go. And then get this. If you're willing, if you want to, He'll go. He'll go as far as you want to go. You're like, well, God hasn't taken me that far. No, He will, but do you want to? Do I want to? How far are we willing to go with Jesus Christ? And so they went into the deep. But of course, Simon has a problem. Simon Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master. That word master there is boss. It's an overseer. Epistos, which is a commander. One who stands up, a boss. He says, boss man, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. He just kind of like, I guess so. He toiled, he made an excuse. I worked all night long. I've done it all, man. We toiled all night. Notice the self in that. I have toiled. I worked my tail off. And I got nothing. I got nothing. I have worked long. I have no rest. But then he said a good word. And I like this word. Nevertheless. It's just but. But. Nevertheless. Forget about it. It was a pivot point, that nevertheless. It was a pivot point. He goes, nevertheless, at your word. Ho-ho! There we go again. They press close to the word. Now Peter changes. At your word, I'm going to change. At the obedience of God's word, the situation will change. Empty nets will become full nets. A long night of empty work will become a short moment of wonderfulness in Christ, in His Spirit. And I'll tell you, our life changes at that pivot point of God's Word. When we start obeying it. He says, hey, we've done all this. I have done me. I've done it all. But nevertheless, at your word. And it was just that little small thing. At your word, I will let down the net. And he goes back to the flesh. I'll do it. I'll do it all. And he did that. And so he says, nevertheless, I'll go out. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. When did this happen? When did the blessing start? When did the abundance now happen? At the obedience of Christ's word.
You're like, but Pastor, I've been obedient to God's word, and I got empty nets still.
Then wait. You're not deep enough. be patient. Watch what happens. But I'll tell you one thing. I never met one person who's been faithfully obedient to the Lord who hasn't been blessed, hasn't had their socks blessed off. And abundance. I've never met anybody who God hasn't in time just done a work. God's not slack concerning His promises, and He loves us. He's a good God. And in verse 7 it says, so they signaled to their partners in order in other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. It was an overflow. It was hardcore. It was a blessing. And notice, it was contagious. The blessing was contagious at the obedience. Now it wasn't just Simon Peter's boat. It was another guy's boat. And they brought in the other boats. And now everybody's filled. See, guys, that's the blessing of obedience, is when we are obedient to God's Word, when we go deeper with Him and His Word, and we go farther with Him and His Word, guess what happens? Other people will then get blessed. Because of your obedience, because of our obedience, Jesus, in His blessing, will also bless others, because He's a good God like that. And I love verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." There's a lot there in that verse. I love how, where does Peter fall? At his knees. Interesting. The only time in the Bible that you see where it says that he falls at his knees. You see Jesus' feet a lot. People are falling at Jesus' feet all the time. But this is his knees. Crazy. The only person that came close to the knees of Jesus also was the woman who had the issue of blood. The tassels would be around the knee area, according to tradition in Jewish culture. But here's the knees. Why the knees in the boat? Two explanations. It could be that he's sitting still. It could be there is a little ledge in all Galilean boats. Underneath that would be the pillow or the ballast of the boat. That's why when they were in the storm, it says that Jesus was underneath asleep on a pillow with a bag of sand that they kept to keep the balance of the boat. And therefore, Jesus in the storm actually became the balancer in the storm, the actual ballast to the boat, which is I think is amazingly awesome. So he could be sitting on that upper section where people would throw off their nets, and he's sitting there. And then he falls at the knees of Jesus because Jesus is in a sitting position. That's one thing. But I don't believe that to be the case. I am not one to think of Jesus to be sitting when there's fun things going on. Here they are pulling up those nets. I know Jesus was there pulling up the nets with them. Pulling up those nets. It's like, oh, that one's snapping. Grab behind, grab it, pull it up. Dumping the fish in the boat. The boat's being weighted down. And his knees, if you know anything about the Jewish boats back in the day that were in the Galilee, the boat was filled with fish. The fish are up to the knees, and Peter's up there on the top of the fish. He couldn't get to the feet. So he went for the knees. And Peter says, bow down at the knees of Jesus and his face. Peter's face would have just been in the fish. That stinky, they probably weren't stinky at the time, but the slimy carp, the whatever that's there, it was probably carp. There's a lot of carp in that lake, and he just puts his face down right in front of those fish, and there's the knees of Jesus, and he's all like, and he didn't care about the smell, the goo, the wetness. And he saw that, and he had a realization. What was his realization? Jesus, I need you to get away from me. Depart from me. Leave me. I'm too sinful. You need to go away from me. Notice the wordplay in this whole story. The people were pressing close to Jesus to hear the word. And he says, let's go out a little farther together. Let's get deeper together. And then he says, I need you to get away from me. I am a sinful man. Oh, Lord. And that's not master. That is a different kind of master. The word master at verse 5 where he says, master, we toil all night. That's boss man. This is something. This is Adonai. This is slave owner. You are a slave owner, and I'm your servant. I'm your slave. And I'm just going to, you're my master. And he just bows down in the fish. at the knees of Jesus. And he just says, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. In the light of Jesus Christ, when we're in the Word, when we're in the light of God's Word, we will realize one thing very clearly. I'm a sinful man. I remember one time I went to Nordstrom's, not on my own accord. I went there to get my wife a present. She wanted perfume for her birthday. And her birthday is tricky because it's Valentine's Day. So I tried to get married on Valentine's Day and get it all done in one day. It was not going to happen. I was like, crud, baby. I was like, let's do this. How romantic and how special. It's your birthday. Total ulterior motives. I just wanted one day. So that's all I would have to remember. And it's done. I save up. Throw a couple of hundred down. I'm good. You know, I'll save up all year. And she wouldn't have it. So anyway, doggone it. She wouldn't have it. It's April 22nd is our anniversary. So I got 2 days now. I got to remember. But anyways, so I'm at Nordstrom's. And, you know, I don't go there. Like, look at me. You know, it's like, I'm frumpy. I'm a big and tall guy, you know. And just like, so I'm there at Nordstrom's, and you know, and I don't like to go there. They got these beautiful women behind makeup counters. I want to talk to you. You know, I want to get in and out, real fast. And I'm like going, okay, we got to get in and out of the store. And I'm like going, then I'm going to go to In-N-Out, and that will be my reward. And then, so I'm headed down there, and I'm like, do you have this type of perfume? And she's like, yes. And she let me ring it up. So I'm waiting for her to get it. I'm like, this is going to be a 5-minute job, dude. I'm going to be in and out. I'm so stoked. And I'm sitting there, and they have this mirror. I don't know anything about mirrors. I try to look at them as least as possible. And there's a mirror that they have it's a magnifying mirror. It blows your face up, so my head looked really fat. And then around it was a light. A big LED light. And it just lit everything up. So not just that I had a fat head, I had a bright head. And with my whiteness, I looked like I was an albino. And I was just like, gosh, I look freaky. And then all of a sudden I look at it, and I looked at myself. And I'm like, and that light, and that mirror? I'm like, what is wrong with my face? I said, look at my pores. I mean, my pores look like the Grand Canyon. I'm like, and I got all self. I was like, look at this. I'm like, I look like I have an Irishman nose and I'm an alcoholic or something like that. I got my veins on my nose. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, geez Louise. I'm like, I saw myself. And man, I realized I am an ugly man. And I realized how much my wife needs glasses. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, geez, she must really love me. Or desperate. One of the two. Anyway, she's, I don't know, but we're still praying about that. But and I'm like, it was just there. And that's what life is like when you're in front of the Word of God. The Bible says, is not the Word of God a light and a mirror? It's a mirror. Peter says that the Word of God is like a man who sees himself in a reflection, and if he forgets about it, he walks away and says, what did I look like, you know? Peter talks about that. The Word of God is a light. And it lights you up. And when you read the Bible, guess what happens? You realize who you are. And you see yourself. And what do we know about Jesus? Jesus is the personification of the Word. The Word is Jesus. And He comes on every page of the book. And then when you're standing before Jesus and you're hearing His Word, you realize something. I'm a sinful man. And you realize that. I don't know if you have. But when I get in the Word, I realize, man, why are you with me? Why are you with me, Lord? You know, I have a great wife, praise the Lord. And sometimes she is so great. I just like, why are you here? I don't deserve this. You know? I just, good grief, man. You're a blessing. And then, man, I'll tell you, I feel the same way, and more so with God's Word. I'm a sinful man. Why are you even bothering? I should be judged. I should go to hell. I need to be burning in fire and brimstone because I'm a sinful man. But yet you have grace upon me. And that's what the thing that was so amazing here. He says, depart from me. Even though God desires for us to be close, he said, I don't, get away from me. But Jesus would have none of that. Remember, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And in verse 9, he says, For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, and his partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, now notice this, guys. I don't think it was just the fish. They were blown away by the fish, the blessing. It was the word. Remember, he was a captive audience sitting there holding that boat out in that water. And with that mixed with the fish, and it just like, good grief, the enormity of God's grace. That boat of fish, those boats of fish were a testimony of God's grace. You, brother, were talking about God's grace upon your life. We were talking about God's grace. You were talking about it, Dan. And we have these testimonies of grace. God's grace is so there that when we're experiencing God's grace, you know, Jesus didn't have to fill the boat with fish. He could have left off and says, go out a little way, taught the word, and says, bring me back in, Peter. Adios. He could have done that. But no, he says, let's fill the boat with fish. And I'll tell you, that's a beautiful thing of God's grace. And so they're blown away by the fish. And Peter's like going, you need to get away from me. I'm not the kind of guy you need to be mixing with, Jesus. And Jesus says this, do not be afraid. Because Peter was terrified. He was like, you need to get away. He was terrified. What was Peter afraid of? Was he afraid of the fish? No, he's seen fish all of his life. Was he afraid of the miraculousness of a boatload of fish? He's probably seen that before too. What was Peter afraid of? Peter was afraid, I believe, that he was going to tarnish Jesus. He was afraid that he was going to mess things up for him. He was afraid of being, maybe it was a selfish thing, I'm in the presence of God. And I don't want to blow it. I don't want to mess up. I feel like I'm a sinful priest in the Holy of Holies. And so he says, but Jesus says, don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, you will catch men. Wow. He says, like, I'm going to change your profession. You're going to serve me and you're going to catch men. You're not going to catch fish. You're going to be an evangelist. You're going to go out and you're going to catch and clean them. Well, Jesus does the cleaning, really. But you're going to catch them and teach them. You know? And that's the neat thing. And when they had brought their boats to land, what did they do? Did they count the fish? Did they call it the fish market guy? And say, hey, bro, count it up. Payoff day. You know, how much is this? Got 50 cents in the dollar, 50 shekels to the fish. You know, what's my cut? What's my cut? What's my cup? So we'll give some to Zebedee. We'll give some to myself. It says that they forsook all. They said, I'm out of here. They ditched the fish. And they followed Jesus. I tell you, I just want to do that. I just want to forsake all and follow Jesus. And I'm going to catch men. I want to go out and serve Him. And that's what He did. From now on, you will catch men. I'll tell you one thing. I'm so glad Jesus caught me. I was a bottom feeder, man. I was like, just a bottom feeder. Maybe you feel that way. You know, but I'll tell you guys, Jesus, He cleans you up. You know, and then we're called down to go out and catch men. To tell people about Jesus. You know, there are three types of fishing in the Sea of Galilee. There is hook and line. There is nets. You throw the nets out. And the third kind is something called a drag net, where you get a team together, and you get two boats, and you drag a net, and you scoop it up. So, too, there's three forms of evangelism. There's one-on-one, hook and line. I'm targeting. Have you ever targeted somebody and you said, this guy needs to get saved? You're like, you're just working the bait. One-on-one. And then you got your nets. That's when you go out and street witness. Tell people about Jesus. You're out there throwing social media, whatever. You're just getting the net out. You're just like, whoever. And then the third kind is when you get the whole team together. You got a plan. You got like, okay, you go on here. We have to sail together. We all have to be in unity. We're going to just go out, like harvest crusades, outreaches. And there's a big net. You scoop them all up. Guys, let's just be that way. I'll tell you, man, God's called us to fish for men. And it's way better. You know, he catches us, and then he cleans us, and then he tells us, go out and get some. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want. And you know, we're going to go into a time of communion. If you want to come up and lead us in a song, and we'll worship the Lord real quick. When you take the emblems, you know, it all comes down. You know, he caught us at the cross. That was the hook. And I'll tell you, we're going to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, and the body and the blood. And then we'll get into remembering what the Lord did for us. Let's pray, guys. Dear Lord, we just come before you, and we just thank you so much for us having this time of remembering your body and remembering your blood. We ask, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts right now, Lord. We thank you and praise you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed into the hands of sinners, it says that he took bread and he broke it. And if you want to peel back the label and take the bread, it says that he took bread and he broke it, and he gave thanks. And he says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We thank you for the body, Lord. Let's partake together as a family and remember the body of Jesus Christ right now. Thank you, Lord. Also, the night that he was taken, it says that he took the cup and he drank it. He says, take, drink, this is my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he wanted to remind them that this is the new covenant. And Lord, we thank you for the blood that was shed for us, a body that was broken, Lord, so that ours wouldn't be broken, that by your stripes we were healed. That by that tearing of your body, we have access into that you tore that curtain that divided us from your presence. And Lord, it's through the blood that we can enter in forgiven and holy. And we just, right now, as we take the cup, we remember that your blood shed for us is the remission of all sins. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We remember you right now. Let's take the cup right now, too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We remember you. We praise you and thank you for the work and this picture of the body and the blood for us. It was the hook that caught us, forgave us, cleansed us, gave us access to the Father, and brought us into a new life, and we could be born again. Thank you, Jesus. We remember you, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's so important. We ask that you just speak to our hearts. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit right now, that we may know you and draw close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret means harp or harp-shaped. Sea of Galilee. And it says, so it was. It came to pass in the reality of time and how it goes down. It says that the people pressed about Jesus. And what were they pressing around Jesus to do, to see? They wanted to hear the Bible. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Hearing the Word of God is so important. And notice, it's not a pastor talking. It's not it's the Word of God. And they came to Jesus, and they pressed. It was a smart crowd. That's a smart thing to do. They came to Jesus. They wanted to get close to him. The word press is a literal, hardcore, coming close to touch. I mean, they were very tight with Jesus that day. And it was not to get anything material. It wasn't to get anything physical. They wanted one thing. They wanted not their hands to be filled, but they wanted their ears to be filled. They wanted to hear the Word. They wanted to hear the Word of God. I'll tell you, man, if Jesus was here right now in the flesh, would not we do the same thing? I would be sitting on the man's lap. I would be like a kid in a mall, Santa Claus, right there. Jesus, like, talk. Just talk. I want to hear everything. And you might say, oh, you know, I wish we had that, Pastor Andrew. We do. That's the Word. That's why it's called the Word of God. We got it. We could sit in His lap and say, Lord, speak to me. I love, there was a Babylon Bee article that came out a couple of years ago, and it said, man prayed for 5 days for God to speak to him, and finally discovered his Bible. You know, and it just, and it was, that's so true. You know, we always say, Lord, speak to my heart, speak to my heart, speak to my heart. And we go, and then we go, oh, what is this? Oh, Lord, speak to my heart, speak to my heart. This is it. This is how he talks. We talk to God through prayer, and then he talks to us through his Word. That's why it's called the Word of God. And so they went to hear the Word of God. They knew they needed something, and it was not going to be found in the multiplication of bread, even in the healing of eyes or the healing of lame legs. What they needed the most was to hear those words. And I'll tell you, what we all need is to hear the Word of God more and more. And it's to hear it, and you're like going, well, you know, Pastor Andrew, I'm not much of a reader. I'm not much of a reader. Well, thank God for YouTube. Because people read it to you, and you hear it. You hear the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Scripture says. And you hear the Word. And if you're like, oh, then follow along. Read it, hear it. And if you don't have YouTube, then get your Bible and read it out loud so you can hear it in your own ears. I mean, guys, we need to hear the Word of God. And remember, hearing isn't just letting it tickle our ears. It's hearing it and letting it sink into the brain. See, God put two ears on the side of our head, on the side of our brain, because it was for the brain. It was for the mind, the heart. And then it goes into the brain and sinks into the heart, and we live it out. And that's the importance of hearing the Word. And they press close to Jesus. I love that, to hear the Word of God. There's power in the Word. And they press close. I love it. You know, that's kind of awkward now, right? With the whole quarantine thing. You know, they've kind of lost the art of pressing close. You know, I mean, it's weird when you look at your old histories on Facebook or social media and you're like, oh, what was I doing with all those people? You know, I still get a little awkward shaking hands. I'm all like, oh, is this okay now? And it's very nice. I'm like, how you doing, man? There's physical touch. You know, and there's some people that are wigged out by this nowadays, man, pressing close to each other. You know, I remember going to the Ralph's. You know, when it was really bad in March, and we didn't know what was going on. You know, everybody thought we were going to die. It was the bubonic plague. And I was in there getting food, and I got my, you know, all they had left were like unsalted crackers and like and pea soup. You know, it was all that was left, you know. And so I was in there. I remember being too close to this woman, and she goes, sir, I need you to step back. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you got it. You got it. You got it. And that pressing close is not happening right now. But and a lot of people have gotten out of the attitude of that. But this is the thing, guys. We need to press close to Jesus. Jesus isn't going to be there saying, oh, you know, I need to step back. He's not an MVP. You know, I love that Jesus isn't like a very important person. You know those people that go, you know, I'm so important, I can't be touched. You know, my wife was watching the show about the Queen, the Crown, or something like that. I forgot what it was. She's really into this, the royalty thing. I guess some guy back in 85 broke into the Buckingham Palace, snuck in one night, opened the windows, came into the to the Queen's bedroom and got too close, and she had a full conversation for around 10 minutes with the guy before he was discovered. And some things we can't get too close. You try to climb over the wall of the White House. See what happens when you try to get too close to something. Oh, that's just normal. But here, Jesus, you know what Jesus does? Jesus is like, come here, let's get close. Press a little closer. Come on, come a little closer to me. Let's talk. He's the type of guy, he's the type of God, he's the type of Savior that puts his arm around you and says, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. You're like, well, Pastor Andrew, he ain't here in the flesh. How is that possible? That's the cool thing. It's by the Spirit we could have that. Remember, Jesus went away and He sent His Spirit so that we could have that closeness with Him and with the Father. We could abide in Christ and the power of the Spirit. And so, guys, we need to draw close, be filled with the Spirit. It also comes through the Word. Guys, He speaks to His Word, and in prayer, we get close to Him. You know, I'll tell you, if you guys aren't praying, pray. Praying is a mental, spiritual, and emotional vomiting onto the Lord's lap. Just, you know, just like this is everything. I got so much. But if you read the Psalms, it's like David's like going, God, you know, and he's just letting it go, man. He's just letting it go. And he's just getting it off his chest. I mean, what are we talking? Who are you going to talk to? Your counselors, your sponsors. You can talk to them. That's great. But when it comes to Jesus, you say, Jesus, I'm just going to just pour it out to you. And then he ain't silent. Then you read the Word. And then it comes back. And he answers you in the Word. It's this conversation that we have, and we press close in holiness. You know, remember, it was the holy priest that got to go into the Holy of Holies. And so we have holiness through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have access. The veil has been ripped from top to bottom. So be holy by the blood of Jesus. Obedience. Being obedient to the Lord. God loves obedience and humility, and He loves when we serve. When we serve the Lord, and we work for Him, guess what? There's a closeness. The master's always close with the servants, the slaves. And I just want to be a slave, bro. I just want to serve the Lord. That's how we press close. And I love how it says in verse 1, it says, and he stood by the lake. They pressed close, and he stood by. And now, he does withdraw. Look at verse 2. He withdraws a little bit for the sake that people could hear the word more. Okay? He verse 2, it says, and he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, verse 3, which was Simon's, and asked to be put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now remember, this is a natural amplification. We have this microphone right here. We have booming voices. We have amplification that we use nowadays. Back in the day, they didn't have that. The natural amplification that he knew about was to get onto water, which was a boom mic. And he would, and you could do that at any lake. You get in the water, your voice will project more because of the water. And so he moves back, makes some distance. Why? Not because he was like, I want to be an MVP. No, he wanted to get back so they could hear the word more. More word. Louder word. More Bible. More Jesus. And so he did that. But I love it. It says there were these fishermen. Two boats. Fishermen drying, it says cleaning their nets. It was a preparation for the next day because they got skunked. They had nothing. Simon Peter is going to be very blunt and say, we didn't catch nothing that night. I'll tell you, I love fishing, but I'll tell you, Jesus in the Bible is very clear here. And Peter was honest. A little minor miracle. He's going to tell him that he's caught nothing. We'll get to that in a second. But it was a long day, no fish. And remember, they started fishing around 4 in the morning. And so right now they're cleaning their nets. It was around noonish. It was the heat of the day. They're done. It was around noonish. They're cleaning up, getting ready for the next day. And Jesus, with no permission, just steps into the boat. He didn't say, may I use one of your boats? He just gets in the boat and says, hey, man, push off a little bit. He just does it. It would be like someone got in your work truck and just went, hey, can I borrow this for a second? I need to borrow your drill. I need to give me your hammer. And he just got into the work truck or the work boat of these guys and just says, and it disrupted their schedule. Remember, they were cleaning nets. And he just jumps in the boat and says, hey, push back a little bit. And then he begins to teach a Bible study. He sits down, takes the position of a teacher. Somehow that got confused over time. You guys sit, I stand. Back in the day, the teacher sat, then the students, they stood. And so they're standing, he's sitting, teaching the people in the position of a teacher. And it was Simon's boat. Simon must have had, he had to push it back and hold on to the boat. He's in the water, waist deep, holding the boat. Captive audience. Peter's just listening to everything. Now remember, Peter knew Jesus already. We know that from Scripture that he has already had contact with him. He knew of him. His brother Andrew was a disciple of his, and they weren't there all the time. They knew Jesus for around 3 years. 1.5 of those years they were with him. For the first year, we believe, it was off and on in his public ministry. But he just sits down and he says, "Put out a little bit." Now remember that phrase. And then he says to them in verse 4, "When he had stopped speaking, Jesus said to Simon, 'Hey, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch.'" I love fishing. And there's one thing that's really hard, is when you take non-fishermen up and they give you advice on what to do. Jesus was a carpenter by trade. He was not a fisherman. He was not a Galilean. He was a Galilean, but he was not a lake guy. Okay? He was a Nazareth guy. Nazareth people are kind of sketchy, you know? Small town, you know? Banditos would run up in that area. They would have the small town on the roads. It was known, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, it was like Vernon. You know, it was rough. And so here, guys, you know, Cudahy. Really, it's a Cudahy thing. You know, just like, you know, I don't know if you know. That's my idea. I'm a LA guy, so it's like Cudahy. You know, just like, you know, can anything good come out of Cudahy? And so here, which there is, but praise the Lord. And so here's Jesus. Anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a rough town, rough place, small families. Everybody knew each other. Some good stuff came out of it. They had one faithful family. It was Joseph and Mary. But man, here he is, and he wasn't a late guy. And he says, and he's getting technical. He's like a YouTube expert, you know, maybe. It was just like, Jesus comes up and says, "Hey, let's," what did he say? "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Well, first of all, it was the wrong place. You'd never fish in the deep, ever, in Galilee. You always hug the coastline. In all forms of fishing, it's always maximum 75 yards out from the coast. Max 75. It's a deep lake. It's very deep. One of the deepest lakes in the area. The Syro-African Rift goes from there. It's a fault line lake. It means it's deep. He says, "Go into the deep." That's the wrong place. So, the deep, okay. And then he said, it was the wrong time. It was noontime. You never fish in the heat of the day. The fish go deep. You can't catch them. They go deep. So it was the wrong time. He was the wrong man, wrong person. He was a carpenter. And for a catch, how do you know we're going to catch anything? Jesus was speaking in faith. Let's go over a catch. Like, oh, you know something we don't, Mr. Fisherman? You know, Bob Vila's here telling us about fishing rules, man. It's like, who is this guy? That was the wrong attitude. So the wrong time, wrong place, wrong person, wrong attitude. And go out a little. Now, he says, push out a little. And now he's saying, go out into the deep. I love this little thing. Guys, catch it. The Lord will always want you, little to deep. God wants to take you. He'll say, come out a little bit. Come away with me. Come away a little bit. And then he wants to take you deeper, though. He wants to take you a little farther. And this is how it is. Remember the story of Stephen. Not Stephen. Oh my gosh, my brain just passed out. The guy who went to Gaza. Help me out, pastors. My brain, an axe. He went down there with the Ethiopian guy. My brain. Oh my gosh. Philip. Thank God. Yeah, with Phil? Am I right? Okay, Philip. I was like, what was it? Phil? Yeah, Philip. He goes down and he goes... And God says, hey, leave this wonderful work that's happening in Samaria and head to Gaza. Doesn't tell him why. Just go one step. He goes to Gaza. He says, well, I'm here in the desert. And he says, look, there was an Ethiopian. overtake the chariot. Next step, he goes. And then all of a sudden, then they start rolling. But God wants you to go this step, and then when you get there, it went out a little bit, he wants you to go deeper. See, that's the heart and nature of Jesus. In the Scriptures, it talks about the man who goes in at leg deep, waist deep, then over his head, going into the depths of the river. And that's what Jesus wants for us. The question I have for you guys is, the Lord wants you guys to go farther and deeper with Him, but the thing is, it's up to us. How far are you willing to go with Jesus Christ? How far? How deep do you want to go? We all say with yes, Lord, I want to go deep with you. I want to go far with you. We could say that, but how far are we really wanting to go with Him? Because you know what? If you're willing to go, He's calling deep unto deep. Let's go. And then get this. If you're willing, if you want to, He'll go. He'll go as far as you want to go. You're like, well, God hasn't taken me that far. No, He will, but do you want to? Do I want to? How far are we willing to go with Jesus Christ? And so they went into the deep. But of course, Simon has a problem. Simon Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master. That word master there is boss. It's an overseer. Epistos, which is a commander. One who stands up, a boss. He says, boss man, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. He just kind of like, I guess so. He toiled, he made an excuse. I worked all night long. I've done it all, man. We toiled all night. Notice the self in that. I have toiled. I worked my tail off. And I got nothing. I got nothing. I have worked long. I have no rest. But then he said a good word. And I like this word. Nevertheless. It's just but. But. Nevertheless. Forget about it. It was a pivot point, that nevertheless. It was a pivot point. He goes, nevertheless, at your word. Ho-ho! There we go again. They press close to the word. Now Peter changes. At your word, I'm going to change. At the obedience of God's word, the situation will change. Empty nets will become full nets. A long night of empty work will become a short moment of wonderfulness in Christ and His Spirit. And I'll tell you, life changes at that pivot point of God's Word when we start obeying it. He says, hey, we've done all this. I have done me. I've done it all. But nevertheless, at your word, and it was just that little small thing, at your word, I will let down the net. And he goes back to the flesh. I'll do it. I'll do it all. And he did that. And so he says, nevertheless, I'll go out. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. When did this happen? When did the blessing start? When did the abundance now happen? At the obedience of Christ's word.
You're like, Pastor, I've been obedient to God's word, and I got empty nets still.
Then wait. You're not deep enough. Be patient. Watch what happens. But I'll tell you one thing. I never met one person who's been faithfully obedient to the Lord who hasn't been blessed, hasn't had their socks blessed off. An abundance. I've never met anybody who God hasn't in time just done a work. God's not slack concerning His promises, and He loves us. He's a good God. And in verse 7 it says, so they signaled to their partners in other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. It was an overflow. It was hardcore. It was a blessing. And notice, it was contagious. The blessing was contagious at the obedience. Now it wasn't just Simon Peter's boat. It was another guy's boat. And they brought in the other boats. And now everybody's filled. See, guys, that's the blessing of obedience, is when we are obedient to God's Word, when we go deeper with Him and His Word, and we go farther with Him and His Word, guess what happens? Other people will then get blessed. Because of your obedience, because of our obedience, Jesus, in His blessing, will also bless others, because He's a good God like that. And I love verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." There's a lot there in that verse. I love how, where does Peter fall? At his knees. Interesting. The only time in the Bible that you see where it says that he falls at his knees. You see Jesus' feet a lot. People are falling at Jesus' feet all the time. But this is his knees. Crazy. The only person that came close to the knees of Jesus also was the woman who had the issue of blood. The tassels would be around the knee area, according to tradition in Jewish culture. But here's the knees. Why the knees in the boat? Two explanations. It could be that he's sitting still. It could be there is a little ledge in all Galilean boats. Underneath that would be the pillow or the ballast of the boat. That's why when they were in the storm, it says that Jesus was underneath asleep on a pillow with a bag of sand that they kept to keep the balance of the boat. And therefore, Jesus in the storm actually became the balancer in the storm, the actual ballast to the boat, which is I think is amazingly awesome. So he could be sitting on that upper section where people would throw off their nets, and he's sitting there. And then he falls at the knees of Jesus because Jesus is in a sitting position. That's one thing. But I don't believe that to be the case. I am not one to think of Jesus to be sitting when there's fun things going on. Here they are pulling up those nets. I know Jesus was there pulling up the nets with them. Pulling up those nets. It's like, oh, that one's snapping. Grab behind it. Grab it. Pull it up. Dumping the fish in the boat. The boat's being weighted down. And his knees, if you know anything about the Jewish boats back in the day that were in the galley, the boat was filled with fish. The fish are up to the knees, and Peter's up there on the top of the fish. He couldn't get to the feet. So he went for the knees. And Peter says, bow down at the knees of Jesus, and his face, Peter's face, would have just been in the fish. That stinky, they probably weren't stinky at the time, but the slimy carp, whatever that's there, it was probably carp, there's a lot of carp in that lake, and he just puts his face down right in front of those fish, and there's the knees of Jesus, and he's all like, and he didn't care about the smell, the goo, the wetness. And he saw that, and he had a realization. What was his realization? Jesus, I need you to get away from me. Depart from me. Leave me. I'm too sinful. You need to go away from me. Notice the wordplay in this whole story. The people were pressing close to Jesus to hear the word. Then he says, let's go out a little farther together. Let's get deeper together. And then he says, I need you to get away from me. I am a sinful man. Oh, Lord. And that's not master. That is a different kind of master. The word master at verse 5 where he says, master, we toil all night. That's boss man. This is something. This is Adonai. This is slave owner. You are a slave owner, and I'm your servant. I'm your slave. And I'm just going to, you're my master. And he just bows down in the fish at the knees of Jesus. And he just says, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. In the light of Jesus Christ, when we're in the Word, when we're in the light of God's Word, we will realize one thing very clearly. I'm a sinful man. I remember one time I went to Nordstrom's, not on my own accord. I went there to get my wife a present. She wanted perfume for her birthday. And her birthday is tricky because it's Valentine's Day. So I tried to get married on Valentine's Day and get it all done in one day. It was not going to happen. I was like, crud, baby. I was like, let's do this. How romantic and how special it's your birthday. Total ulterior motives. I just wanted one day. So that's all I would have to remember. And it's done. I save up. throw a couple of hundred down, I'm good. You know, I'll save up all year. And she wouldn't have it. So anyway, doggone it. She wouldn't have it. It was April 22nd is our anniversary. So I got 2 days now, I got to remember. But anyways, so I'm at Nordstrom's. And, you know, it's not, I don't go there. Like, look at me. You know, it's like, I'm frumpy. I'm a big and tall guy, you know. And just like, so I'm there at Nordstrom's, and, you know, and I don't like to go there. They got these beautiful women behind makeup counters. I want to talk to you. You know, I want to get in and out, real fast. And then I'm like going, okay, we got to get in and out of the store. And then I'm like going, then I'm going to go to In-N-Out, and that will be my reward. And then, and so I'm headed down there. And I'm like, do you have this type of perfume? And she's like, yes. And she said, let me ring it up. So I'm waiting for her to get it. I'm like, going, this is going to be a 5-minute job, dude. I'm going to be in and out. I'm so stoked. And I'm sitting there, and they have this mirror. I don't know anything about mirrors. I try to look at them as least as possible. And there's a mirror that they have it's a magnifying mirror. It blows your face up, so my head looked really fat. And then around it was a light. A big LED light. And it just lit everything up. So not just that I had a fat head, I had a bright head. And with my whiteness, I looked like I was an albino. And I was just like, gosh, I look freaky. And then all of a sudden I look at it, and I'm like, and I looked at myself. And I'm like, and that light, and that mirror, I'm like, what is wrong with my face? I said, look at my pores. I mean, my pores look like the Grand Canyon. I'm like, and I got all self. I'm like, look at this. I'm like, I look like I have an Irishman nose and I'm an alcoholic or something like that. I got my veins on my nose. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, geez Louise. I'm like, I saw myself. And man, I realized I am an ugly man. And I realized how much my wife needs glasses. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, geez, she must really love me. Or desperate. One of the two. Anyway, she said, I don't know, but we're still praying about that. But it was just there. And that's what life is like when you're in front of the Word of God. The Bible says, is not the Word of God a light and a mirror? It's a mirror. Peter says that the Word of God is like a man who sees himself in a reflection, and if he forgets about it, he walks away and says, what did I look like, you know? Peter talks about that. The Word of God is a light, and it lights you up. And when you read the Bible, guess what happens? You realize who you are, and you see yourself. And what do we know about Jesus? Jesus is the personification of the Word. The Word is Jesus, and he comes on every page of the book. And then when you're standing before Jesus and you're hearing His Word, you realize something. I'm a sinful man. And you realize that. I don't know if you have. But then when I get in the Word, I realize, man, why are you with me? Why are you with me, Lord? You know, I have a great wife, praise the Lord. And sometimes she is so great. I just like, why are you here? I don't deserve this. You know? I just, good grief, man, you're a blessing. And then, man, I'll tell you, I feel the same way, and more so with God's Word. I'm a sinful man. Why are you even bothering? I should be judged. I should go to hell. I need to be burning in fire and brimstone because I'm a sinful man. But yet you have grace upon me. And that's what the thing that was so amazing here. He says, depart from me. Even though God desires for us to be close, he said, I don't, get away from me. But Jesus would have none of that. Remember, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And in verse 9, he says, For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, and his partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, now notice this, guys. I don't think it was just the fish. They were blown away by the fish, the blessing. It was the Word. Remember, he was a captive audience sitting there holding that boat out in that water. And with that mixed with the fish and it just like, good grief, the enormity of God's grace. That boat of fish, those boats of fish were a testimony of God's grace. You, brother, were talking about God's grace upon your life. We were talking about God's grace. You were talking about it, Dan. And we have these testimonies of grace. God's grace is so there that when we're experiencing God's grace, you know, Jesus didn't have to fill up the boat with fish. He could have left off and says, go out a little way, taught the word and says, bring me back in, Peter. Adios. He could have done that. But no, he says, let's fill the boat with fish. And I'll tell you, that's a beautiful thing of God's grace. And so they're blown away by the fish. And Peter's like going, you need to get away from me. I'm not the kind of guy you need to be mixing with, Jesus. And Jesus says this, do not be afraid. Because Peter was terrified. He was like, you need to get away. He was terrified. What was Peter afraid of? Was he afraid of the fish? No, he's seen fish all of his life. Was he afraid of the miraculousness of a boatload of fish? He's probably seen that before too. What was Peter afraid of? Peter was afraid, I believe, that he was going to tarnish Jesus. He was afraid that he was going to mess things up for him. He was afraid of being, maybe he was a selfish thing, I'm in the presence of God. And I don't want to blow it. I don't want to mess up. I feel like I'm a sinful priest in the Holy of Holies. And so he says, but Jesus says, don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, you will catch men. Wow. He says, I'm going to change your profession. You're going to serve me and you're going to catch men. You're not going to catch fish. You're going to be an evangelist. You're going to go out and you're going to catch and clean them. Well, Jesus does the cleaning, really. But you're going to catch them and teach them. You know? And that's the neat thing. And when they had brought their boats to land, what did they do? Did they count the fish? Did they call up the fish market guy and say, hey, bro, count it up. Payoff day. You know, how much is this? Got 50 cents in the dollar, 50 shekels to the fish. You know, what's my cut? What's my cut? What's my cup? So we'll give some to Zebedee. We'll give some to myself. It says that they forsook all. They said, I'm out of here. They ditched the fish. And they followed Jesus. Hey, I just want to do that. I just want to forsake all and follow Jesus. And I'm going to catch men. I want to go out and serve Him. And that's what he did. From now on, you will catch men. I'll tell you one thing. I'm so glad Jesus caught me. I was a bottom feeder, man. I was like, just a bottom feeder. Maybe you feel that way. You know, but I'll tell you guys, Jesus, He cleans you up. You know, and then we're called down to go out and catch men. To tell people about Jesus. You know, there are three types of fishing in the Sea of Galilee. There is hook and line. There is nets. You throw the nets out. And the third kind is something called a drag net, where you get a team together, and you get two boats, and you drag a net, and you scoop it up. So, too, there's three forms of evangelism. There's one-on-one, hook and line. I'm targeting. Have you ever targeted somebody and you said, this guy needs to get saved? You're like, you're just working the bait. One-on-one. And then you got your nets. That's when you go out and street witness. Tell people about Jesus. You're out there throwing social media, whatever. You're just getting the net out. You're just like, whoever. And then the third kind is when you get the whole team together. You got a plan. You got like, okay, you go on here. We have to sail together. We all have to be in unity. We're going to just go out and like harvest crusades, outreaches. And there's a big net. You scoop them all up. Guys, let's just be that way. I'll tell you, man, God's called us to fish for men. And it's way better. You know, He catches us, and then He cleans us, and then He tells us to go out and get some. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want. Hey, you know, we're in it right now. We're going to go into a time of communion. If you want to come up and lead us in a song and we'll worship the Lord real quick. When you take the emblems, you know, it all comes down. You know, He caught us at the cross. That was the hook. And I'll tell you, we're going to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross and the body and the blood. And then we'll get into remembering what the Lord did for us. Let's pray, guys. Dear Lord, we just come before you and we just thank you so much for us having this time of remembering your body and remembering your blood. We ask, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts right now, Lord. We thank you and praise you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed into the hands of sinners, it says that he took bread and he broke it. If you want to peel back the label and take the bread. It says that he took bread and he broke it. And he gave thanks. And he says, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We thank you for the body, Lord. Let's partake together as a family and remember the body of Jesus Christ right now. Thank you, Lord. Also, the night that he was taken, it says that he took the cup and he drank it. He says, take, drink, this is my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he wanted to be reminded that this is the new covenant. And Lord, we thank you for the blood that was shed for us. A body that was broken, Lord, so that ours wouldn't be broken. That by your stripes we were healed. That by that tearing of your body, we have access into the... That you tore that curtain that divided us from your presence. And Lord, it's through the blood that we can enter in forgiven and holy. And we just right now as we take the cup, we remember that your blood shed for us is the remission of all sins. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We remember you right now. Let's take the cup right now too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We remember you. We praise you and thank you for the work and this picture of the body and the blood for us. It was the hook that caught us, forgave us, cleansed us, gave us access to the Father, and brought us into a new life, and we could be born again. Thank you, Jesus. We remember you, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together.